Welcome to the Post Podcast. I'm James Bell. Thank you for dialing in, tuning in, clicking in, however you wanted to describe it. As the local, state, and national economies are reeling from the fallout of COVID-19, all levels of the government are working to help businesses, as well as individuals, with the immediate and potentially long-lasting effects. So during this limited series on the Post Podcast, GrowHaze Executive Director Doug Williams is going to explain some of the resources available and how best to access them. Now, during this series, we are encouraging questions from you as well to try to cope with the reality of stay-at-home orders, confusing government responses, and trillions of dollars in recovery efforts. We will attempt to answer any and all questions that are submitted or address any comments that you have about the situation. You can address those questions or comments to the HazePostPodcast@gmail.com. That email is going to be listed below here. So stay safe, friends. We'll get through this together. Without further ado, here is our first segment in this limited edition podcast series with Doug Williams. So I think the first thing we wanted to talk about today was just kind of in general, what are you hearing from the local businesses in light of this COVID-19, you know, precautionary shutdown of virtually everything?
Well, the majority of what I hear is kind of a shock for the most part. This has come on so quickly and, you know, nobody really anticipated it. And to go from normal day-to-day business to basically nothing in many cases for businesses that are closed or significantly reduced sales for those who remain open in some limited fashion. It's just a very difficult time to get their arms around it. And I think most people are trying to determine where they really stand at this point because it's come on so quickly.
Yeah, and I think initially a lot of people were thinking, you know, restaurant industry obviously was the big one and they're taking a huge hit, but that has larger implications on the entire economy. You know, I think like in media, we've seen massive layoffs across the board in journalism because the advertisers have dried up because, you know, you're not going to advertise a restaurant that's closed down. So I think it's hitting all of the businesses in some way or another, right?
Well, absolutely. You know, some more than others, some a little more direct impact than others, but the dominoes fall. And as you say, why does a restaurant need to advertise when they're not open? Why, you know, hotels get no, there's very little travel, so they get very little usage. And it's just one thing after another. And many of these businesses cannot maintain their employees for an indefinite period of time. Some of them not even for a short period of time without some sort of stimulus or help, which is kind of what the federal government has tried to put in place on a few of the programs that they've got in place.
Yeah, and that kind of leads right into, you know, the big topic that we wanted to hit on today. We kind of want to do an overview of what is currently available. And I mean, it's huge. There's tons of programs that are being flouted by the states and by the federal government, but kind of, I don't know where we want to start with this. What do you think is the biggest impact or biggest program that's going to be able to help these industries right now?
Well, clearly there aren't as many as you might think. You know, we hear a lot of press, but a lot of them are talking about the same programs. One of the programs that came out a couple weeks ago was the HIRES program that the state of Kansas funded, which was the Hospitality Industry Relief Emergency Fund. State of Kansas put out $5 million for hotels, restaurants, things related to hospitality. You applied for that. It's being handled through Network Kansas is administering that program. And I believe they had 12 or 1,300 applications in a 8 to 10 hour period.
Wow.
They ended up funding as many as they could. That was up to $20,000 for a business. It was at an interest rate, I believe, of 3% and payable over 36 months with payments not to begin for 4 months. And we did acquire funding for two local businesses for that, a hotel and a restaurant. There were a number of others in Western Kansas, but those funds got gobbled up pretty quickly. There's some talk that maybe the state will try and find some dollars to put some additional dollars out there, but I haven't heard anything concrete yet on that. The other two programs are federal programs, one of them being the Payroll Protection Program, which allows a business to apply for a loan of 2.5 times their average monthly payroll over the last 12 months. So whatever they've been paying in payroll average over the last 12 months, they can get 2.5 times that monthly amount. Now, for some businesses, that may be a small amount. For other businesses, obviously, that have more employees, it's going to be a much higher. That's for businesses that have 500 or less employees, which pretty much hits the mark on all of our local businesses.
Yeah.
And that fund is available to, I believe the interest rate is 3.75%. However, if you maintain the same number of employees that you have over the next, I believe it's from February 19th through June 19th, if you maintain your same number of employees and your same pay level, the loan is forgiven or can be forgiven. So that's a good program. It is handled through your local banks. It is ultimately administered by the SBA, but your local banks take the application for that. So if anybody is interested in that program and they have a relationship with a local bank, they need to contact the local bank for that program.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I mean, that's a really smart way to do it, I think, because you're going to be talking to people that kind of know your business already and can guide you through that.
Yeah, and there aren't a whole lot of qualifications. The funds need to be used for salaries, wages, commissions, the typical stuff that you would spend it on. There are some limitations as to if you have highly compensated employees, you can only use a portion of what they're paid and that kind of thing. So the banks are going to know how the rules work and how the application works. It appears to be a first-come, first-served program. So anybody that has an interest in doing so needs to get in and see their banker as soon as possible, because once the funds are gone, they're kind of gone at this point. Now, that's not to say that Congress may not go back in and allocate some additional funds for programs like this. But at this point in time, I would encourage anybody to get in there and get this application in place, because if you are able to get these funds and maintain your employee compensation levels at where they are currently for the next few months, this loan is going to be forgiven.
Yeah, I like that. Because, that's a big question I have. And even going back to like the Kansas loans, what's the long-term impact on a business that maybe is already running tight margins? Now you've got a loan on top of it that you've got to be paying back. It's not free money.
In this case, some of it could be free money, but you make a good point. Is the additional burden of an additional debt going to be too much for a business to handle? And I think the answer to that is, in some cases, it is. And in some cases, a lot of these loans may end up being forgiven anyway by the federal government. It's just hard to tell at this point in time. There's so much we don't know. And so we're just kind of feeling our way along. The other program that the federal government has come up with, it's actually a program that is already in place, is the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Fund, which is handled by the SBA directly. And that fund, as I say, has been put in place, but they put some additional dollars into it. And that is a loan of up to $2 million, depending on the size of the business and the qualifications of the business. There's some more qualification process that has to be gone through to get that loan. It's at an interest rate of 3.75% for up to 30 years to repay, and up to 12 months of payment deferment. So, you can kind of get your feet back on the ground and not have to start paying on that for a while. Part of that program is an emergency grant, and that's a grant of up to $10,000 that they claim would be eligible to be paid within 3 days of application.
Wow.
Now, I don't know administratively how the SBA is really going to do that. I have been told that last year that the SBA had 58,000 applications that they dealt with nationwide, and this promises to be millions and millions. So how that organization handles all that is going to be very questionable. You know, I don't see how they're going to get payments made within 3 days to a business that's in dire straits, but that's what it's for, is for that business that has a basically an emergency situation. And it would be hard to argue that almost all the businesses out there right now are not in an emergency situation. But that can be found at SBA.gov, I believe is the website. And I would encourage people to go out there and take a look at that and see if maybe that may be of some help to them, because a $10,000 grant for a small business right now could be pretty significant.
Yeah, definitely help. But, you know, and I was thinking of with the Network Kansas loans, that $20,000, you know, say, and this is from my background in restaurants, thinking if you've got a staff of, you know, 150, 200 people in a really large operation, that goes faster than you think.
Oh, I have talked to a couple of restaurant owners locally who have good sized operations, and the number of employees and the amount of overhead they have on a monthly basis is very significant. You would be surprised, as you say, you know that because you've been in that world, but it is very difficult to deal with a 70 to 80% downturn in business.
Yeah, and you know, and I've been promo on this on the Eagle Morning Show that I do. Please support those local businesses when you can. I know a lot of them are doing delivery now. Everybody's carry out only, but that helps some, even if everybody's doing that, but still, you know, service staff for your dine-in restaurants, they have nothing to do.
Well, exactly. I mean, I've been carrying out at a few restaurants, and I talk to them as I go through the drive up or when they bring it out to me, and the comment is, you know, we're just trying to keep the place open, keep our employees employed for now until this passes. And we're hopeful that that's not too far down the line, but sounds like it's going to be at least until the 1st of May.
Yeah. And the latest numbers I saw was, you know, the outbreak peaks around the end of this month. But, I mean, this could, the lockdowns could basically be extended through May. Into summer, and I don't want to freak anybody out. Hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully they've got that wrong and it's better than what everybody thinks. But, you know, I'll just throw this plug in there too. We all need to be doing our part and staying away from each other.
Social distancing and following the stay at home orders makes it all go away a lot faster. If we don't, we run a lot of risks that it could get out of hand. And, not only is it going to go longer, but, people's lives are at stake. So very important.
Yeah, that's the important thing, or at least for me. I think when we've seen some of this activity, I don't know if you saw this, I think Lieutenant Governor in Texas basically kind of said, yeah, anybody over 60 ought to be willing to just risk it so we can get the economy back up and running. But that's, I don't know. I don't want to speak for anybody else, but to me, that's kind of gross.
Well, I can speak for myself being over 60 that I don't really like that idea.
Yeah.
I think it's a bad plan. And if he wants to do it, maybe he needs to go book a cruise or something like that. And but no, I really think that social distancing and staying at home is the only option. And we're as I drive around Hayes by myself and on occasion to go out and pick out some carry out or something like that, and have gone on some walks. I've seen soccer practices taking place and that kind of thing, which just kind of blows my mind. I saw that yesterday and I just am in disbelief that you've got a group of kids gathered for soccer practice when we're in a situation like this.
Yeah. And I think, you know, and this came up in our newsroom a couple different times this week. You know, the social distancing piece, I keep telling you, you can go outside, you can do things outdoors, and you should if you can. I mean, we've got terrible weather rolling in right now, but that doesn't mean it's difficult because being outside and being 6 feet away, you think you're safe, but that doesn't necessarily mean you are, because you're going to naturally gravitate towards other people. And that's where the spread comes. And the 6 feet thing, I think, was to me one of the most disastrous things they told everybody, because it could be considerably larger distance where this thing spreads airborne. I've seen some reports up to 30 feet. And you're not, you know, you can't even yell at each other at 30 feet effectively.
No, I agree. And it's difficult to say what the exact answer is on some of this. You know, you just got to go by the guidelines and make your best judgment. But staying apart and certainly staying at home as much as possible is key to shortening up the cycle of this thing. That appears to be evident.
Yeah, and that's I spoke with Congressman Marshall the other day, and that was exactly what he said. You know, the faster, you know, if we all do our part and really take the guidelines to heart and stay away from each other as much as we possibly can, we're going to get the economy back up and running faster. That's the best economic advice he had, was follow the social distancing guidelines to a T. Don't try to squeak by a little bit here and a little bit there, but do your part, which will get us up and running again. And that's where, you know, and I do understand what, again, the gentleman down in Texas was saying. The economic impact is going to cause damage to a lot of people. And some of that might be manifested physically. You know, whether or not you're dealing with mental health issues or just the stress of this whole situation, that's going to have an impact too. But at the same time, you know, I think some of the forecasts on deaths for this thing are huge. I've seen some numbers up to 250,000 people in the U.S., and that's just a nightmare.
Well, it is. And absolutely, the economic impact is devastating. And we're seeing it right here. I don't want to make light of that at all, because it's taking quite a toll. And anybody that owns a business, and I have, and has sweated making payroll and that kind of thing, which I have, I understand. It's a tough, tough time. And there are significant impacts on people. We just got to do the best we can. Some of these programs have been put in place to try and lighten the load on some of that and need to be taken advantage of. I know the individual payments to people are going to be coming sometime soon. And hopefully those will be spent in some fashion to local businesses, whatever they are, and if people can, and we somehow get through this. Because we will get through this, but it just is a challenging time, to say the least.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned the personal.
The other thing, it came on so quickly that I just think that's what is different than other situations. And, you know, you see different parts of the country that maybe have a flood or something that's localized, and they you can get help to them and that kind of thing. But this is a whole different animal.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's and nationwide, I think it was the real kicker. Like, even if, you know, say Kansas City got hit by a F5 tornado, that's not going to impact the entire country. And I say country, but really it's the entire world. It's not just U.S. It's global impact.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But yeah, going back to you mentioned the personal payouts that they're going to be doing, and I don't think we have a real firm grasp yet on when that money will get in people's hands. I know they're hoping by the end of this month, but you know, I wondered about, you know, like say we use that to cover rent, you know, and the payout for an individual is going to be $1,200, and I don't know the average rent number here. You might have a grasp on that, the average amount, but I'm guessing it's close to that. Maybe you would be able to cover two rent payments with that. I'm wondering what the impact to like landlords and realty is right now.
Well, and again, that's that domino situation. That certainly if people can't pay their rent, the landlord can't make their mortgage payment. And so, you know, it does affect that type of thing for people who do lose their jobs as a result of this. And that's why some of these programs, if we can keep, you know, if we can get funds to a business and keep people employed for the next 30 to 60 days, they can continue to make their rent payment or their mortgage payment. I would also encourage, you know, communication is always the most important thing. And so to a business that is struggling and can't, you know, make their payment to the bank or what have you, my advice is that they make contact with the bank, explain their situation, because this is not going to be news to many of our local lending organizations. They understand. They may have individual programs in place where they're willing to do interest only or defer payments for a while or whatever it might be. I know they'll probably handle that on a case-by-case basis, but it's not in their best interest to foreclose or do anything like that. They want to get through this too. So I certainly encourage any business owner to talk to their lender, any tenant to talk to their landlord, you know, if they're in a situation where they can't pay, because communication is critically important.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's a courtesy, really, keeping people informed as to what's going on.
Yes. But sometimes it's, you know, we don't want to have to deal with it. It's easier to, it's a difficult thing to do to call somebody and say you can't pay them.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's better that than for everybody to wonder or to get into a situation where calls aren't returned or what have you. So I think being proactive versus reactive is very important.
Yeah. And correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think businesses could do the same thing. I think we've seen some of this where some of the local businesses have been really good about communicating what's going on in their world and what they need to kind of help them keep afloat, at least till some of these programs get online and they can get the support they need, right?
That's true. Absolutely. You know, social media and that type of thing have been very effective in communicating some of that kind of thing, some not so positive, but still it's communication is critically important at this point in time.
I kind of want to shift to something else. And we talked a little bit about this as we were prepping. In Ellis County here, oil is huge and we're seeing gas prices. I can see a gas station from here. It looks like it's $1.40 right now, which is the lowest it's been here in a while. And I've seen pictures from friends I have down in Oklahoma where they're picking up gas at 89 cents a gallon. What's the impact looking like there?
Well, I think it's, again, it's another factor that, you know, pretty much unrelated to the coronavirus, but the oil prices. On January 1st, Kansas crude was roughly $51 a barrel. And as of yesterday, it was under $11 a barrel. So that's virtually an 80% decrease in oil prices. And so that's significantly significant impact on local oil producers who employ lots of people, pay good wages. And, you know, that's going to have a significant impact as well if it persists for a long period of time. We don't know how long that'll be, but that's a problem as well. So we're kind of getting a double whammy in Ellis County right at the moment.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that that's not necessarily coronavirus related. I mean, I think there's some impact to the business there as well, but that was really driven by some forces in the Middle East and Europe, and I don't even know, maybe you want to talk about that, but it was, that was coming regardless of the virus.
It was, I think it's the Saudis and the Russians who are fighting over market share or something, you know, it's all bigger than I understand, but then of course the coronavirus exacerbates it because the number of travelers, air travel, you know, that kind of thing is greatly decreased. So gasoline fuel is much less, you know, a lot less used. So supply and demand gets a little bit out of whack. So you have all those things hitting it at once. And but I assure you that's a significant factor in Ellis County. And as I say, if it persists for a long time, we will feel the impacts of that as well. So we've got some challenges facing us at the moment, to say the least.
Yeah. At what point, because I know there is a tipping point where it's just better to shut the wells off. I mean, are we there already?
Yes, I believe we are. I've heard of a number of operators shutting down wells. You hear different things about the lift cost, the cost to get the oil out of the ground with the electricity, manpower, what it costs to haul it, and that kind of thing. When that's exceeding the price you're getting for it, then I think that's the case in most wells right now. They just shut them down. And then the domino factor we talked about, the pumpers don't have any wells to go out and check on. Truck drivers don't have any loads to haul to the refineries, and the supply people who sell parts for wells and that type of thing. I mean, it just goes on and on. Not to mention the royalty owners who aren't getting the check to go spend at the local furniture store or what have you, and the operators who don't have any profits to spend in new cars or trucks or whatever. So it just is a domino effect that is not a good situation.
Yeah. You mentioned the transportation there, which was something else I was wanting to ask about. Supply lines, we keep being told that supply lines are running, the shipments are coming through, truckers are doing their job, trains are running, airplanes are flying, but still we're seeing supply line disruptions at grocery stores. And, the big one everybody's talking about is toilet paper. I don't know, do you want to talk about maybe how that's impacting the economy as well?
Well, I think that there is clearly some impact. In the case of the oil industry, the reason they may not be running trucks is because they don't have any oil to haul.
Yeah.
When you're talking about grocery stores and other things, they've probably upped their deliveries because of the amount of some situations of hoarding that have occurred, as well as maybe more people eating at home versus eating out requires more grocery sales and that type of thing. But we're seeing just all kinds of crazy things going on. And, the only thing we can hope for, I think, at this point is that this is short-lived, that we're talking about, 30, 45, 60 days. I think we can handle that, although very painful. And not everybody will be able to, but it will be definitely painful. But we start talking about into the summer and beyond, then you start talking about pretty serious situations. And not that this isn't, but...
Yeah.
But I think for the most part, I see the UPS guys still out there. The FedEx guys are still out there. The trucks are bringing groceries to the grocery stores. When I go to the grocery store, there's produce. Like you say, the only thing you can't find in normal quantity for the most part is toilet paper. Although the meat department and that kind of thing, you see, gets pretty lean at certain times of the day.
Yeah, and that was right after the governor announced the shutdown was going to go effective on Monday. I think that was Saturday morning she said that. My first thought was, like, everybody's going to go crazy and go buy a bunch of stuff at the grocery stores. But I went out that day, I think it was early afternoon, and really was seeing that everything looked fairly stocked, maybe better stocked than it had been since this outbreak had started. Which I took as very encouraging. I kind of backed off my story idea because there was no story to be had. The only thing I couldn't find literally was toilet paper that day. Even and Walmart, because Walmart's a big draw for the region where I think the Dillons are more the local shoppers. It wasn't busy by no means for a Saturday afternoon. It was maybe a third of the normal traffic in there.
Well, people have maybe gotten the word about the stay at home, situation, or maybe had already stocked up, but I think they're catching up to some extent, and I think they will get caught up. Some of the supply chain type things originate in China,
mm-hmm.
because so many of the products that we buy, not necessarily grocery items, some of the paper products do, but so many of the products that would appear in our stores come from China, and their supply chain has been disrupted due to the virus. So that just dominoes back to us and all over the world.
Absolutely.
So it's always interesting, the the effects and the unintended consequences of different things and how things work out. But I still, you know, I think as I look forward, I still am confident that we'll get through this and that we'll come out of it smarter and better than we were before. And, you know, we'll look back on this and say, wow, wasn't that an interesting time, but we'll be okay.
Yeah. There was one other thing I wanted to hit on, and then I'm kind of out of questions on my side. What is the impact to the airports? Like Hayes Airport, for example, is at least in some part subsidized by the government, right? And I've heard reports of we're continuing to fly, but we're flying a lot of these jets out of the airport completely empty. At some point, do we reevaluate that, or do we just keep business as usual, hoping that we're out of this thing in 6 weeks?
Well, I'm sure that the airlines are reevaluating things. I know, you know, the international carriers and even the domestic, the number of flights are way, way down. I'm not 100% sure how many flights are coming, if we're doing all our flights as normal out of here, but it doesn't make a lot of sense to fly planes empty. And subsidy or not, I think that if I would be surprised if we continue business as usual for the next 30 to 45 days out of our local airport, but I don't have any firsthand knowledge of that.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, and all that information is easily accessible. You just go to the Hayes Airport website, which I don't know off the top of my head, but they show you their flights. And I thought that was interesting because it's interesting to me the way that whole structure works, because it is, you know, you think about these planes going out, and we do want the regular flights to Denver because we'll have a lot of business travelers that connect there, and then they go, you know, basically anywhere in the world under normal circumstances. But sometimes those flights aren't nearly as full as what they would like. And so that's where the subsidies come in. And, you know, I don't know how it works.
Well, you know, the bottom line is when you've got a stay-at-home order and there should be very little travel going on, does it really make sense for the airlines to continue to fly other than essential type services and things? So I assume that's what they're doing. But I do know boardings are way, way down versus what they were. You know, last year was a record year for the Hayes Airport for boardings. My guess, this little glitch is going to mean that this year is not going to be a record year, but we'll get back to normal at some point.
Yeah. And maybe everybody will, as soon as we get past this thing, everybody will take their stimulus money and go on a vacation somewhere.
Well, that would be awesome. Open up Disney World and everybody go. We kind of get back to the world we knew before. And just wake up from a bad dream.
Well, thank you so much for joining me, Doug, and we'll talk very soon.
Very good.